Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Everything's so sweet.
Everything is so goddamn good.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is not that. Mm-hmm. It's Tom Ryman.
Mm-hmm. And we just watched Knives Out.
Knives out.
I'm Detective Lieutenant Elliot, and this is Trooper Wagner. We just want to ask a few questions. We understand the night of his demise, the family have gathered to celebrate your father's 85th birthday. How was it, by the way?
The party? Pre my dad's death? Oh, it was great.
Knives outward.
Yes.
Hold the knives away from your body.
It's good advice. This movie is good advice.
Yeah, it's solid advice just right from Jump Street, right from the title.
A lot of people have been anticipating this movie, including us.
Yeah, very much so.
It's Rian Johnson directed.
Written
and directed. It's like holding steady at like a 90-something percent on
And it has like an 82 on Metacritic.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to just start by saying spoilers. Because this is a whodunit. This is a mystery. That's a whole point of this movie, is it being a mystery. And we are going to spoil that mystery from here on.
Really, the less you know about this movie is better going into it.
So, Tom, what did you think of Knives Out?
I think it's a fun movie. I was disappointed.
Okay. I'm not going to say I was disappointed. I will say it's definitely gotten more hype, too much hype.
Yeah,
I got disappointed in it, and then it saved itself for me because there was a point in this movie where I was like, I'm gonna have to go into this podcast and start by warning people, not spoilers, but warning people this is not actually a whodunit.
Not really.
Yes.
It really isn't, and that's what I was disappointed with, is it's not much of a mystery.
No. Well, it is and isn't, because I get what they were doing, and I'll just jump right into spoilers.
Yeah.
It's the murder of Christopher Plummer, and like in like the, I want to say the second act, maybe the halfway point, they reveal what happened to him.
And it's not even the second act.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I sort of suspected it right away, because they do the thing where they show that it's the nurse.
And what happens
is they're retelling the story of what happened, and they're like, yeah, the nurse left at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear these footsteps and this and that, and then he came downstairs, and they show the shot, and they clearly show it's not him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a figure, and they're like, he went back upstairs. I was like, oh, okay, so the nurse did it. You did a bad job.
And then they just show us that the nurse did it, because bizarrely, this movie is told from the point of view of one of the suspects.
Yes.
And it shows you it shows you what happens. Like it shows you her crime.
Yeah, and her doing all the cover-up stuff that the detective should be learning as he goes. But
we don't spend much time with Daniel Craig's detective at all.
Yes.
And he doesn't really solve anything. There's a point in the movie where she finds the hidden toxicology report that was supposedly going to show that she had accidentally... What happens is she accidentally gives him an overdose of morphine.
Yeah, and Christopher Plummer tells her how to get away with it, because he likes her and he knows it's an accident. And I remember that reveal and being like, man, I wish... Like, for a second, I was like, did they fuck up the reels? I'm not watching this on film, because this feels like it would be a grand reveal.
Yeah, they reveal so much in the beginning that the ultimate reveal of who the quote unquote killer is very underwhelming, and it's also
not as clever.
It's also so telegraphed. How quickly did you figure out who it was?
I mean, that was, this is what I, this is the credit I'll give the movie, mm-hmm. is I knew there were other, there was clearly going to be other nefarious people involved, mm-hmm. but I think what the movie was trying to do is distract you by making you believe, oh, it's not a whodunit after all. We know who done it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can let your guard down. That said, yeah, like, well, they went with the bad guy. They went with the guy who's obviously bad to
right.
be bad.
They went with Chris Evans' character, Ransom, who is obviously an asshole. He's also, he's the only other member of the family we spend any meaningful time with. And
yes.
he's the only other member of the family we are ever given any clues about.
Yes.
So it's like, of course it's him. He's the other family members are barely in the movie. And we've gotten like five different clues that all point to him. So
right.
It's like,
or at
yeah,
least he's
going to
be involved.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously it's him.
And you can tell Chris Evans would be the kind of guy who's like, I want to play a villain. I never get to be an asshole anymore. I'm Captain America. So it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, of course Chris Evans will be the asshole.
Yeah.
It, yeah, for that reason, it's, yeah, not much of a whodunit. Again, the other thing is that since they set up the mystery of him found with his
throat slit,
mm-hmm. I didn't care about the loose ends as much. It
yeah.
was like, how did that thing happen? And then, when they show that he instructed her to do the thing and he overdosed,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, but we still don't know who slit his throat. That's going to be the thing. And then they show him slit his own throat. And it was like, oh,
yep.
okay. I guess
yeah,
that mystery is solved too.
Yeah, it really didn't. It really didn't. That seeing the entirety of his death from the character's point of view, that once you realize that she's not an unreliable narrator, that everything she saw is actually what happened.
Right.
It took 90% of the wind out of my sails. Like, it's like, well, I don't care about this anymore.
It really blue-balled me. It was like,
yeah.
I really wanted a good mystery. And then I kept being like, because the moment they introduce her and then they show her going downstairs and they introduce, oh, she throws up when she lies. I was like, well, that's going to be the killer. Because they're trying to make us really think it's not her. And I thought for a second the movie was really dumb. Thought we were really dumb.
Yeah.
And then they introduced that part, and I was back with it for a little bit because I was like, oh, this is different than I expected. This mm-hmm. is playing with the trope by immediately giving us the answer. But I thought
yeah.
there was going to be more mystery. It was the intrigue was going to build from there.
And it doesn't.
Kind of doesn't.
It does not at all.
Yeah.
There's
it's
a random blackmail subplot thrown in.
Yeah. The reveal is that Chris Evans. She basically switches the medications, thinks she overdosed him, and the reveal is that Chris Evans also switched the medications, so she didn't kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went in there. He found out, basically, that Christopher Plummer was leaving his entire wealth and estate and companies to her
right.
to teach his shitty family a lesson, which was baffling.
Yeah.
But
You know, it's a hyper-reality. I was accepting mm-hmm. all that. It was
yeah.
more just the fact that they gave it away so quick.
Yeah.
There's
not enough intrigue left in the remaining loose ends to really keep me on board.
Well, yeah, because they have to reveal, but wait, he did this, so he really murdered him. And it's like,
But he didn't.
He slit his throat. We know what happened.
Yeah.
They have to introduce
Plummer
a new murder,
himself.
Basically.
They had to add in a new murder, yeah,
for Chris Evans to go to jail.
Yeah, which was really dumb.
Yeah,
like they add in the new murder like 20 minutes before the end of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's not. Yes, it's all technically dumb, but it's not. I don't. Yeah, I think it was more focused on being fun.
It was fun.
Clever.
Like, the characters are all fun, and it's they're funny performances and everything. But it's like, man, as a mystery, like they do the thing that I fucking can't stand. When she pulls the fake toxicology report out of the stash and hands it to Daniel Craig, she's like, "This is all the evidence right here, and I've just handed it to you. You're not much of a detective, are you?" And he's like, "Well, in my defense, you're not much of a murderer." But it's like, you can't just call out the damn thing that you've done right. and then have it not be dumb. Because yeah, he's not much of a detective.
No,
he
really
solve
isn't very
anything.
Good. It's that's when I started shifting gears watching it because I was like, oh, is this like Pink Panther? Like, oh, is the idea that he's not very good? And then they just sort of have him at the end, like, I knew it was you the whole time, and this and this and this and this. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, I guess within this universe, he is a good detective.
Yeah, it was just, it's a weird way. I appreciate playing with tropes and everything, but it's a weird way to tell a mystery. Like,
well, I think that's the problem. I think it wasn't a mystery movie.
Not really.
That's why I wanted to warn people, because I think if you go into it knowing it's not really a mystery movie, it's just kind of a crime comedy.
Yeah.
Then it's probably a lot more enjoyable because we talked about this leading up as we were like, oh, I can't wait for another whodunit. There's never a good whodunit. And part of what makes a good whodunit is having to be outsmarted by the movie. I want to be tricked, you know, in a way that's.
In a
not
way that's
like,
fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a way that's not Ocean's 12, where it's we've been acting differently this whole time for no reason.
Right. It's like, get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, you have to be, it's the idea is you have to be able to solve it.
Yes.
But you to not have figured it out.
Right. It's kind of this is a very minor complaint because this movie, this part of it is anyway, this movie is written in a way that you can solve it. I solved it very quickly. So it's like, it's not really fair for me to complain about that aspect of it because a well-written mystery is one that you can solve.
And sure.
It's a double-edged sword because the bummer is you might solve it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, again, I think what they were trying to do is let your guard down. They were trying to be like, okay, you've solved the mystery. Let's continue with the movie. But it's that sort of thing where it's like, well, I'm still watching it. Like, it's still going.
I still got to watch this for 2 hours.
So it's like, when it starts switching from seeing it from her perspective, it did get... We were watching Panic Room the other night.
We sure were.
And you pointed out the same thing, and I got it from this, is that there's a lack of tension because of that.
Yes.
Because we know that she did it but didn't. We know that she's more or less innocent, so we know, okay, she's going to get out of this. Unless things go completely wacky.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Rian Johnson, maybe they will. But if this is the 90% everybody loves it type of movie, then this is just going to be a real fun movie. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what it was. And the family stuff was the bigger focus, and the mystery stuff was sort of, I don't know.
It really felt... Because they show it to us so early, and because the movie is told from an outsider's perspective, but not from the detective's perspective, so we're not watching somebody trying to solve the mystery.
Yeah, that was a weird decision.
I think that was a mistake.
It was,
telling
because
it from
I,
the nurse's point of view.
When they were showing her doing like the magnet to cover up the tape, I was like, oh, that would have been a good reveal.
Yeah.
You know, it's that.
Instead of just showing it to us.
Yeah, instead of just showing it from her perspective, I was like, this should all be reveal stuff. Mm-hmm. And they probably knew that. The idea is let's show the mystery from the perspective of the people who know what happened. And it's like, okay, that's interesting, but it kind of ruins it. What makes a whodunit fun.
Right, because the only clues we see Daniel Craig discover are stuff that we already know is, like, he finds the mud, but we already know that's there.
Exactly. And so we're watching him discover the clue that we know is there.
We're watching, we're like patiently waiting for him to catch up with us. And it's by design. It's like how the film was designed.
Well, it's
which is a very strange way to make a movie like
because
this.
It's a different, again, it's not a mystery movie because we've seen movies in the past and I'm trying to think of them, but for some reason I can't.
not a single one.
No. But you know, the ones where we follow the person who did it. And we watched them Out of Time, starring Denzel Washington, for example.
Sure.
Where it's like we're watching the person who's guilty, and the tension is them trying to cover it up.
Yes.
So it's like the person, a simple plan, yeah. Where it's like, oh, the detective got a lead, and they have to do something, or Fargo, or they have to do something to build the lie, to continue it. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was the idea because they introduced, oh, I throw up when I lie. Mm-hmm. And they use that a little bit, but it was
a
this is going to be interesting. She can't lie, but she has to lie.
She can't lie except when the movie needs her to.
Yeah, well, she can bend the... She can say limited truths is the idea. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, she should know she's lying when she does that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that's what we were going to watch, is her facing that challenge. And they when they go to watch the tape, there's, like, a little of that in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, a little of her covering her tracks. But then the movie just sort of moves on from that. It doesn't stay with one kind of tone. Or not tone. With one, like, premise for very long.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's weird about this, is that I thought the entire movie was going to be the first act, which is we're in a house, who killed this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't.
And it's not really at all what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they do the vomiting thing actually really bugged me the more I think about it.
Really?
Because, well, they introduce it in a way that she gets immediately queasy and throws up huge.
Right.
They do it later where she's able to just very gently throw up quickly into a big gulp so Daniel Craig doesn't see that she was lying.
Right.
But also it happens immediately after the lie. At the end of the movie, when she lies and says that Fran, the housekeeper, has survived, she's able to not throw up for about 2 minutes for Chris Evans to deliver his bad guy, of course I did it soliloquy, right. And then she explosively vomits.
I guess I didn't mind that because I interpreted that as the idea she throws up because of the guilt. She can't stand the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I interpreted that as she knows this is a lie for a good reason. And, like, she could hold out. Like, I don't know. I guess I put that on her. But, like, mm-hmm. the pattern sort of fit where it was, like, you know, she like, that was a lie that it was, like, this mattered a lot.
So she
was holding out as long as she could. And she was also, like, less disgusted with the lie, like, morally, because it was for the reason of catching him. I was surprised by the puking, even knowing it was a lie. I thought the turn was like her character arc was going to be like, oh, I learned to lie.
I can lie. Yeah. That's fair. That's probably accurate in terms of reading it, but the movie never gives us that information.
No, and not
it's just
really.
The rules it establishes, it's a hat on a hat. Because it establishes a very bizarre behavioral tic that I don't think exists, but it's so over the top.
Right.
The idea that she is so averse to telling a lie, it literally makes her throw up.
Right.
We're starting out with something that is truly out there.
Which
as
is
a
why
concept.
I assume then, not only had she done it, but she was like a sociopath
right.
who like was pretending this, setting this up or something.
So yeah, the second part of that is it gives us this pretty big pill to swallow and then doesn't really define the rules of it.
Yeah.
Which is
I didn't mind that as much because it's
not that big of a complaint. I just thought it was a very odd thing to have in your film, and it feels like he just did it for the sake of it being an odd thing to have in the film, which is fine. It's in the tone of the movie.
Yeah, it's a weird comedy.
Yeah,
We haven't even talked about the family. It's you know what it is. Before we get into that, I was talking about this on Twitter. I went to see this movie and it was just flooded with boomers, millennials, and their boomer parents because it's Thanksgiving.
Excuse me.
And everybody, you're excused. And everybody is, you know, out with family and shit. And it's like that kind of movie. It's kind of the perfect movie for that. Like,
yeah,
oh,
really
my
is.
Parents are in town. What do we do? Let's go see this fun movie.
That's middling praise because Now You See Me is also the perfect film for that.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
My parents are here. We have to go see something that's inoffensive. Like, when my parents visited last, we went and saw Rambo Last Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a mistake.
Yeah, that's not that. You don't do that.
I'm sitting there laughing my ass off as Rambo rips a man's collarbone out. Like,
did
literally
your parents
just
enjoy it?
I mean, they enjoyed going to a movie with us at a nice theater.
Yeah,
but
it's
like my mom is like cringing in the seat next to me, and I'm just howling with laughter at how stupid this is. It's like, wow, I took my sweet mom,
to
see Rambo
options.
Murder a guy with his bare hands.
There are probably other options that weekend.
There might have been. It was just, what a perfect film to take my parents to.
Oh,
just
that's terrific.
Over the top boomer fantasy violence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Rambo Last Blood. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed fitting for that. What did you think about this? I'm actually not sure what I think about this. What did you think about the injection of politics into this?
I think
it was kind of the idea of lampooning everybody.
Yeah, I think he wanted to. He did an interview at a Collider screening where he said he wanted to make this movie be very 2019. He wanted to date it. He wanted it to be a movie that
he sure
said,
did. Then
I think the way he phrased it was like he wanted the movie to only be able to exist in 2019.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the politics stuff is in there, and it adds perfectly to like Don Johnson's character.
Yes.
When they're having the argument, and he's clearly like a MAGA red hat Trump supporter.
Yes.
And he calls Marta the nurse over to be, cause they're arguing about illegal immigration. And he's like, she did it the right way, like legally. And like, he's like trying to get her opinion about it. And Toni Collette, who's like very liberal in the film, is like, no, don't bother. Don't bring her into this. She doesn't need to be brought into this.
Yeah.
And he sort of forgets he's talking about her and just kind of subconsciously hands her his cake plate like she's the fucking house service.
Yeah, it's terrific.
It's like it was a nice moment. It was perfectly encapsulated Don Johnson's character.
I like the little quiet alt-right Nazi son.
Yep.
That they just accept as a Nazi. They just like offhandedly talk about him like a Nazi.
Which
I thought, the whole point is, I liked that because the whole point was like, they don't care. Like they're calling him a Nazi. They know he's a Nazi, but they're just sort of pretending that's not a thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The thing they all actually care about is Christopher Plummer's money.
Yes, exactly. They do a good job at making the family awful.
Yeah, they're all pretty awful.
Yeah, I do think the politics didn't need to be in there from a narrative standpoint.
No, like, it doesn't. None of that served any narrative
purpose. It kind of stuck out, and I was imagining people going to see this with family that they don't necessarily see eye to eye with.
Mm-hmm.
And like, look, let's just all get a break and go see this movie, and then they have to hear the same fucking shit that they're arguing about.
Yeah, at the Thanksgiving dinner table. And he does the lame ass, even though I know Ryan Johnson's a very liberal person, he does the lame ass both sides-ing, because in that argument...
Exactly, because Toni Collette is like, oh, they're literally Nazis, and like trying to be like she's taking on the caricature.
Right.
Of like a,
yeah, and she's like objectively a ridiculous person in this movie. So it's like... And then her daughter, who is all like trying to be like, you know, oh, like I'm an ally, but then she calls Marta and just immediately asks for money when she gets the inheritance. And she immediately dimes her out. Like she tells the family that Marta's mother is there illegally.
Yeah.
And I guess they're all actually craven.
Oh yeah,
they
they're
just all
care terrible
about
people.
The money. Yeah, they all suck.
It was weird because like that group with their politics, I was like, I would love to see like another movie about them that isn't a whodunit, but this, like, I'm not one to say keep your politics out of movies, but this one I was like, I don't think it didn't add anything to it.
It was really.
Like kind of a joke, but the joke was like, oh yeah, he's a Nazi, and it's like that's a real problem. And they're calling attention to the problem by making everybody be like, oh yeah, that fucking Nazi kid, and not doing anything about it. But it it was this whole other thing that I was like, oh, I kind of want a movie exploring that dynamic. Like Succession is kind of that, where it's like, yeah, rich family just sort of
they're so removed from it having any effect on their lives. They're 1%, like a grotesquely wealthy family of white people. So it's like, oh, they can just offhandedly be like, oh yeah, our one grandson's a weird Nazi troll. And it's just like it's a punchline. Like they've used it as a joke several times in the film.
Yeah. And it is funny. Like I hated those scenes. I just wasn't sure what they were doing in this movie, because they seemed unrelated to the main movie.
Yeah. It didn't have anything to do with it. I think it was just there to color the characters some.
Yeah.
But like that, the kid who is the he's from It.
That's where I know him from. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know that little Nazi from somewhere.
I think he's also in Midnight Special with Michael Shannon.
Okay. I would not know him from that.
But, oh, fuck, I lost what I was talking about. Oh, right. Like, that kid is not a character. Like, he doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't matter.
He's a prop, basically. He delivers
which I like
one
the
piece of information,
of that,
and that's it.
Of the little alt-right troll Nazi as being, like, always on his phone and shitty.
But it never has, yeah, it never has anything to do with, like, it doesn't have anything, like,
no,
I was
all that stuff
defending... Yeah, I was starting to defend it as coloring the characters, but it's like, he's not a character.
Right, and it's, it does color the characters, it's just like, I don't know. I would have actually preferred this to be more timeless. I know that's apparently what he tried to do on purpose.
Right, but like, it seems... I thought it was a weird thing to say when I saw the interview, and seeing the movie... Like, his execution of it was to just include timely references. That's it.
Exactly. And it's not really... It can take place now.
Yeah.
Like, the phones and stuff like that. But it's not really relevant to the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just them saying a lot of stuff that exists.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah,
can you believe
weird.
this in 2019 of all times? So, yeah, like... Making a Hamilton reference, all that was. I mean, it's a funny movie.
It is a funny movie. It's a fun movie, and I think that's part of why people are liking it so much is because it's holidays, it's Black Friday. You need something to just go watch and have fun, and that's what this was. Mm-hmm. And it's you can't fault it for any of that because it's not a dangerous movie. It's not a badly made movie. The performances are a lot of fun. Everybody's doing a great job. I love seeing Toni Collette play that role.
Yeah, she was great.
Everybody's doing a great job. It's I think the word you said was disappointed. I wanted it to be more than it was.
Yeah, I wanted it to be a mystery, and it really isn't.
It really isn't. It's just kind of a zany comedy. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to describe it.
It's very funny.
Yeah, and yeah, everybody's doing a great job.
What might be my favorite line in the entire film is the scene that is famously in the trailer where Chris Evans finally shows up and just starts telling everybody to eat shit. And it explodes into this huge family argument, and it like kind of pans out of the room. And the very last thing you hear is Michael Shannon shouting, "I will not eat one iota of shit."
Michael Shannon was killing it.
Yeah, he's a fucking there wasn't, amazing we didn't get, in this film.
Not enough Michael Shannon, but...
I mentioned it earlier. In addition to like you know all the clues, the only clues we get pointing to him. Once Chris Evans shows up, we sort of never check back in with the rest of the family.
Yes. Oh, we so never like, explore them that much.
Yeah, again, it's a fun ensemble that we just kind of jettison in Act Two. Like we don't spend any time with them after the first act.
It's so weird because the trailer is like here's a fun ensemble of crazy people who have you know played by really good actors and then we're gonna put them all in a house and Daniel Craig's gonna solve this murder with all of them in the house and then they don't do that
not at all.
They leave the house, they're driving around, they're doing stuff, there's multiple locations. The characters like Jamie Lee Curtis is hardly in it, Michael Shannon is hardly in it, like they just sort of they kind of lied about what kind of movie this was in the trailer.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's real shame.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like it has the first act setup of being this whodunit, and then from an act two, it becomes Marta trying to cover her tracks with Chris Evans' help.
Yeah.
So it becomes an entirely different movie.
Yeah, and the stuff where like someone lights the thing on fire and they go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff like kind of dragged on, and then the weird car chase.
Yeah, although I did like when they finally pull over and Lakeith Stanfield gets out. He's like, "That is the dumbest car chase I've ever been involved in." And he's kind of mad. Like when they pull over, he's just like, "Get out of the car."
Yeah, I liked how everybody was caught. When she was caught, Daniel Craig's just sort of like, "Yeah, I know what's happened." Like,
yeah. No, yeah, Ransom told us everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the performances, the attitudes, that was all great. The tone, I think the tone was good.
Yeah.
It was kind of just what happens in the movie is less satisfying. And it's got this huge lot of praise. And I'm wondering if part of that's because if you haven't had a burger for a very long time and then you have a burger, it's going to be a fantastic burger. Mm. And we don't get murder mysteries nearly as much as we should. Ever.
Almost ever. Yeah.
And so we got this one and it's technically a murder mystery and it has a something to solve. But it's not actually that satisfying. It made me want to watch other murder mysteries so I could scratch that itch.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gosford Park.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Even you haven't seen that, right?
No, I need to.
You got everybody go see Gosford Park.
Even the Murder on the Orient Express was a more satisifying.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But
it's not as good as a film.
No, not at all.
But the mystery itself, the girl on the train, that's another good murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other good murder mysteries. I don't know. I didn't hate this. Mm-hmm. It has such good performances in it.
It's very, we're dumping on it a lot, but like, because, you know, we got to lead with our criticisms or else we wouldn't have anything to talk about in these podcasts. It's very fun and it's very funny. Like it's an enjoyable movie. I agree that it does drag a little bit when it becomes Marta and Ransom like going off together to try to like
cover up the crime. Bored.
Yeah. And it's like they forget about Daniel Craig for like half the movie. I'm like, right. He's supposed to be the detective solving this case.
Here's the thing. It didn't seem like they had anybody for that long because we haven't mentioned Chris Evans doesn't show up until way later in the movie.
Act two, yeah.
Yeah. So it really felt like they couldn't secure one of these people. Like, I would have rather them all stay in the house and them get more affordable actors if they couldn't afford all those fucking people.
I don't think this had much of a budget, so I think I heard it was around like 40 or 50 million, something like that.
Okay.
So that would indicate that a lot of these actors worked for way less than they're normally paid. Yeah. Which is nice. It's neat when you get a bunch of big actors like this who just are in a movie because they get to be funny so much and they want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That figure could be totally wrong. Right. Just for reference.
Yeah, I haven't looked it up.
This movie could have cost $120 million. Sitting here talking about, I don't know how much.
I hope it didn't.
Yeah.
It's a house and some buildings and some roads.
$40 million.
I think the biggest, even though it's pretty obvious, I really, really, the itch that scratched the most for me, I would say out of anything, is asshole Chris Evans.
Oh, so good to have him back.
Yes. We forget. I mean, Captain America, great. Fantastic. Chris Evans is so good as an asshole.
Yeah.
It's the type of role he's born to play. Like, Captain America is the weird thing.
I remember thinking it was weird when he got cast as Captain, and he's perfect at it.
Yeah, he's great.
But at the time, I was like, really, him?
Yeah.
That's not who I would have thought of for Captain America.
Yeah, he is such a good asshole.
Yeah, he's really great at it.
I want to see more. I want to see more of him being a jerk.
Yeah, he's also very funny. So it's more asshole Chris Evans, more Chris Evans in comedies.
That said, okay, I'm not sure, actually. Because if you're going to put Chris Evans in your movie and you're going to make him the murderer, do you make him Captain America or do you make him a jerk? A jerk, because I think what this movie was trying to do is outsmart the people who knew the tropes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an asshole character, you automatically assume that's not going to be the killer because they're making
too
want
obvious.
Them. Yes.
Yeah.
That said, for general audiences, if you make Chris Evans like I'm a Boy Scout, people might be shocked. I think of What Lies Beneath, where it was like that. It's so obvious when you think about it. Spoilers for What Lies Beneath.
But they were toying with the meta aspect of it, where it's like, well, you're not suspecting Harrison Ford because he's literally never the bad guy.
Yeah, he's Harrison Ford, and like it, again, it's like the most obvious character.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just like, no, but that's Harrison Ford, so he'd never do that.
Right. I think that's the only time he's been the bad guy.
Yeah.
And you rarely get to do that on like a meta level. So yeah, it'd be interesting to cast Chris Evans as a Captain America type, right, and then be like, because people don't suspect that he's been Captain America for 10 years.
Right. So. And if you're quote unquote making a movie for 2019, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You play off the tropes of 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It might have been a better decision. No.
Yeah,
it,
I don't know.
Yeah, we've been very critical of this. I enjoyed it while I watched it. I think I liked it more than you, Tom, by a little bit.
Maybe. That might be true. That might be true. I did not love this movie.
No. And I didn't love it either.
I wanted to.
I mean, that's the thing. We both went into it like, I'm so excited for this. And I think maybe that's our problem.
Yeah. It could be on us.
I don't know. Maybe we had too high expectations for it, but at the same time, it's getting like a fucking 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I guess it's everything I wanted it to be, you know? I guess this is going to be a really clever murder mystery. And it just isn't. It's not a clever murder mystery.
No, it's not that. That's not what it is.
And I mean, those can exist.
Mm-hmm. They do exist. We just don't get them very often.
No, we don't. And I think it's because they're hard to write.
Yes. Yeah. Mysteries are difficult to write well.
Yeah, for sure. You have to add so many elements. Because that's the thing. You have to add all these elements. That's why they're ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
And make people wonder which one of these people is it.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, you want to do something clever. You want to do Murder on the Orient Express. You want to do... you want to do something where it's not just pointing to, you know, Michael Shannon or whoever and being like, it was him, and then it's him. You want more than that. There's always got to be the why were they murdered. That has to be a big conspiracy. And it has to be like, oh, it was a bunch of people, or this and this happened. It was a series of things.
Yeah.
And this movie had that by the idea of Christopher Plummer instructing somebody, here's how you get away with my murder.
Yes, but they reveal it immediately.
Exactly.
And the movie's told from her perspective, which is very strange.
That's a really good reveal, because the idea is he makes all these mystery books.
Yeah.
So it was like, but we'll never suspect him. I was thinking for a little bit, like maybe he faked his death or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the perfect way of doing it is, oh shit, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I want you to get away with it. Like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
and wasted it.
They do. They show you in the first 10 minutes, pretty much.
Mm.
And then the movie becomes her trying to cover her tracks, and it's like, that is not what I thought this was going to be.
Yeah, that would have been so much better. And they do stuff like they introduce the footsteps going up. And they're like, at this time, these footsteps went up. And at this time, and we heard a bump at this time. And we're showing other people's perspectives of what happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for this to be the whole movie.
And it's not at all.
It's not at all.
It's not at all.
Like, I was so excited for, like, everybody telling their version of that night.
Yeah, Rashomon it.
Yeah, and then him putting it together and, like, figuring out the clues of what happened and then coming up with a fucking clever thing that happened, a reason. And it's really bothering to me that they did come up with that.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't bad writing. It's not we couldn't think up a clever thing to do. It was we chose to do it this way.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to subvert it or something.
I think so, but... I don't know.
Ryan Johnson's weird.
He is. He makes some strange decisions.
Because I think he's obsessed with subverting tropes. I think The Last Jedi was that, too.
Yes.
I appreciated that. I think that works really well in a... I know everybody hates The Last Jedi, but I appreciate that in a movie that's like a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, I appreciate it when it's done in a really clever way.
Mm-hmm.
But... This, it's just like, it takes away the point of watching it. It's like showing a slasher film from the point of view constantly of the slasher. So you see all the kills before they happen. It's like, well, all right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. That's, you took away the fun out of it.
Yeah, yeah, you took the fun out of it.
Yeah.
It's like a magic. It's like the Secrets of Magic on Fox, where that masked magician did a magic trick and then would reveal how he did it.
And ruins Mitch Pileggi, magic for people.
Yeah, and Mitch Pileggi in between every... we probably talked about this. Mitch Pileggi, as the host of Secrets of Magic, is so mean about it that I'm pretty sure he legitimately thought it was actual magic until he was attached to the show.
Yeah, he's just so angry at magicians.
Yeah, because after they reveal, because he like narrates it, and at the end of everyone, he's like, not so magic, is it? And it's like, yeah, well, I know, Mitch. Shit. We all know Mitch.
I know he's not a warlock. Yeah. Like, I know this is a trick. The fun of it is I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
Or she.
Calm down, Mitch.
Right, yeah.
Statistically, it's a he with magicians.
Right,
but yes,
it's mostly... Yeah, it's a pretty notorious boys club.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Magicians. Man. Fucking magicians.
I know.
Coming in hard against magicians today.
I'm not coming in hard. I used to do magic when I was a teenager. I had like magic stuff. It was fun. It's fun. Like, but then you become an adult and you're like, can't do that anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. Not going to keep doing this. No offense to adults who do magic, but
I don't want, this can't be my thing.
Yeah. It's like ventriloquism. Clearly. Like, it's like, yeah, it's a hard thing to keep with you into adulthood.
Yeah, for sure.
Until you're an old man, then you can do all the magic tricks you want.
Right, because then it's not weird anymore.
Yeah, but well, it's acceptable weird. It's like creepy
right,
it's weird.
Accepts. It's weird in the allowed way.
Yeah, in the weird old man doing card tricks way.
Yeah,
unless you want to be like a sexy street magician, but that's a hard sell too. Mm-hmm. That's a big swing, and you know, it's mostly a miss. A
lot of ships breaking up on those rocks.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, you know who should be a magician? Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
I want to see a Michael Shannon magic show.
Okay. Now I want you to pay very close attention. Is this your card?
And He's just never selling it. Yeah.
What do you mean? This isn't your card? I'm pretty sure this was the card you took from the deck.
Okay. It's my card.
You're right. It's my card.
You're right. It would be Michael Shannon believing he's a good magician.
Right. Just scaring people into being one.
Yeah. And nobody wanting to tell him otherwise.
I'm going
to
ask you for just tonight to believe in magic.
Oh, man. Stage magic.
That scene where he's screaming at the grandma, food!
Oh, yeah. The grandma was solid.
Yeah.
Again, the ensemble was solid. It was a solid idea for a goddamn ensemble that felt kind of wasted.
Yeah, very much so.
On a non-mystery. I mean, we came down hard on this movie, but I do think it's... the more I talk about it, the more disappointed I become with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I realized what I wanted to see. It was, I was trying, like, I wanted to see something. I realized at least it was good enough to establish early that's not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling like, oh, okay, I guess I'll watch this now.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed, but
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah, it's like wanting a Nintendo for Christmas, and then you get like a cool Transformer, and you're like, "Oh, this is, I like this too. This is cool. It's not really what I was, you know. I kind of had my hopes up on something else, but
yeah, it's not really in the neighborhood of what I wanted. But this
is fine. Exactly. It's not even close to what I wanted. It's not even the best Transformer, but okay.
Thanks, Grandma. I'll stick around with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there will be other like-minded individuals that are going to have a big letdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're just going with your family because you're trying not to murder each other,
mm-hmm.
then this will work.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have some fun. Everybody in the audience had a lot of fun. All them boomers, they were very delighted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was fine.
So, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. That's what it was. It was fine. And I didn't want fine. I wanted great.
Yeah, I really wanted to be in it, into it.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I was into parts of it. Like we talked about, the comedy was good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a big trash bag. Like it's not a trash bag filled with like dirty grease that you have to guzzle. Like it's a presentable film.
Yeah.
It's definitely something like I would recommend it if you just want to go have a fun time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would compare this to something like Ready or Not, where it's see, the difference was when I went to see Ready or Not, I had no expectations. And then I walked out of it like, oh, that was way funner than I thought. And I went into this one with all the expectations, and it really didn't deliver. So I think it's better to go into this knowing you're not watching a whodunit.
Yeah. I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
I think that's a sewed as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That can be a sewed.
That can be a sewed.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening.
Mm-hmm. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Indeed.
If you're interested, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. There's tiers where you can watch movies with us every Friday, or you can make us do your own episodes of We Just Watched, or you can even produce your own podcast for us to host. It's all right there, baby. Check it out.
Do it. Also, we have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts and stickers and posters and shit. So do that as well.
Yeah, do that.
As a second thing that you can do.
And enjoy your, it's Thanksgiving is a week, right? We're doing a Thanksgiving dinner every day for a week.
For an entire week. Yeah, an entire month we celebrate Thanksgiving.
The month of Thanksgiving. Enjoy that. Oh, enjoy your Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. We nailed it.
We nailed it. We did a great job.
Oh, we're so good at this.